Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Guy, let's jump right into it. A lot going on. You and I talked about this, a revision of the jobs report going back to March of 2024, which is a full like 9 to 10 months before President Trump took office, through March of 25 by almost just over 900,000 jobs. The impact of that, and what does that mean?
Well, it's really significant because previously the expectation was that jobs had been created at the rate of about 147,000 per month. The revisions lower that to 71,000. So 50% plus reduction. And it's really indicative of what we've talked about before, which is there's a much softer job market than the numbers would indicate. We now have more people looking for work than open jobs. You also have another indicator, which is people working part-time that would prefer to be working full-time. That's been going up. And then the challenge of replacing jobs. So we're seeing the quit rate decline. People are staying in jobs they don't like because they're just not confident that they can get a new job. And a couple of years ago, we talked about that where the quit rate was just sky high, and you know, if you didn't like what you're doing, you could easily get a new job. So all of these things point to a much weaker labor market than we had anticipated at the beginning of the year.
We couple that with rising inflation. You and I spent time talking about that as well. Obviously, ends up being probably a perfect storm for the Fed to reduce rates. There's pressure, it seems, amongst the Board of Governors. Is this going to be 25 basis points? There seem to be some that say it needs to be at least 50. They meet on Wednesday. Where do you think this is all going to play out?
I'm pretty sure that it would be 25, but wouldn't be totally shocked if it was 50. The Fed's reluctant to hit 50 because it indicates that they missed. You know, they like to project what the rates are going to be. They like to have a glide path that the market can understand. When you do 50, it is an indication that you just miss things. And I think a lot of Fed governors would not want to do that because they've been pushed pretty hard politically to reduce rates more quickly. Chairman Powell has said, though, that right now the balance of risk is more toward unemployment than it is to inflation. Now, the thing that complicates their life is inflation ticked up last month. You know, it's supposed to be a little lower than it was. The core inflation is still 3.1, and that's the measure the Fed likes to look at. So that's literally 50% higher than their target. And, you know, the Fed really believes that tariffs are inflationary. So they're beginning to see evidence that the tariffs are being pushed through in price increases. And that worries them. But the dual mandate means you've got to look at both. So unemployment is a bigger issue, and I think that's going to push for a rate decrease. And then we'll have to see where it goes through the early fall.
Obviously, what's being bannered about, and I've already received some text on it this morning, who did the recount? Was it the new person that Trump has put up to take over this position, or was it done by the previous staff?
It's the new staff, but once again, if you walked in today, you can't fix the Bureau of Labor Statistics instantly. The challenge is they use a survey, and the survey is just not being responded to the way it used to be. And if you talk to any pollster, they'll tell you it is very hard to get people to answer surveys. You know, the politicians have a tough time getting accurate poll results because of that. So Bureau of Labor Statistics needs to go to a different system than a survey. And there's no way you could put in that new system very quickly. So we're still using the old system. The person that's now in charge, I think, is a good economist, will probably do a good job. But the person who was in there before wasn't bad. I think they just weren't pushing hard enough to go to a new system.
But, you know, it's interesting. You've made this observation before, not to beat a dead horse, but, I mean, the IRS knows what the filings that are coming in, right? And you have the private payroll data information, whether it's paychecks or otherwise. They have a whole host of reports. With AI, you know, you start dumping a lot of data in there, they ought to be able to manage and massage it relatively easy. I mean, I don't understand why this is as big a challenge as a lot of folks want to say it is.
Yeah, the reality is the data is there, and the Fed needs to mandate, federal government needs to mandate, look, if you're a payroll processor, you need to report to us anonymized data, but on a weekly basis, of what's going on. And then you'll have real-time data. And obviously it's easy to do that when you don't have to do the programming work. But I think somebody that is capable in programming and really focused could get this done in a few months, and then you'll have real data. And I think that's the missing thing so far, is just a real push. We've got to get better real-time data, because it's hard to make economic decisions in a rapidly changing world when your data is out of date and the revisions come months after the initial reports.
I mean, and I don't know that there's a similar, well, I know that it's not a similar circumstance, but when we are evaluating core inflation, whose data are we actually relying on there?
Yeah, that's a different set of data. That's Federal Reserve gathers that data, and that's actually pretty accurate. That does not mm-hmm. tend to be revised, because you're measuring real things. You're measuring prices, you know, gasoline price at the pump, retail prices at the store, internet prices. So that data is real, and you really don't see big revisions to the core CPI data.
So just to bring this all back home, about half of what the Fed is looking at, they're relying on actually great data, and the other half of what their mission, not so great data. It would seem to me that they would have a strong desire to improve upon that, but nothing's changed for a long, long time. Why? I mean, because this has really unique and challenging consequences.
It does, and I think that the challenge is there needs to be a real push where the government says this has to be provided in real time. And I think any of the payroll processors would tell you it can be done. It's a programming change. And the challenge is the dual mandate talks about inflation on one side, where you're getting real-time data. And then you're talking about employment, where you're getting lagging data and corrected data. So you really do have a mismatch, and the result is what we're seeing right now. The employment data is late. Now that it's come out, they realize, oh, my goodness, we've actually been lagging, and, you know, the president was right. We've been slow. We should have cut rates probably 3 to 4 months ago, but because of bad data, we didn't realize it. You know, it wasn't bad intentions. It was just bad information. It's hard to make a good decision when you have bad data.
And then, you know, when we talk about the importance of whether or not these folks get it right or wrong, and that's why they may not go to 50 basis points and just take the most conservative approach and just do 25 basis points. I don't know, from an outsider looking in, that's just kind of a frustrating mindset that we're worried about what we're going to look like more than what is actually happening in the bowels of the economy. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it seems a little foreign to me that we would worry about that. I mean, you know, you have a lot of things happening out there, people's lives being impacted, and if 50 basis points would make life easier for a whole lot of folks and stimulate a whole bunch of different micro economies, why not?
Yeah, it makes logical sense, and that fear of being embarrassed is something that is really, you wish it didn't occur, but there's an example that was told to me by our convention bureau that just showed me how powerful that fear of embarrassment is. Picture this, 500 heart surgeons are meeting at the convention center. They're having steak and lobster because they're doctors and great menu. One of the doctors gets a steak bite stuck in his throat. Now he's surrounded by 499 people who can help him. Instead of giving the choking motion, steps up, walks into the bathroom, and dies because he was embarrassed. So that fear of embarrassment is real. We all can say it shouldn't be, but when I heard that example, I said, son of a gun. I mean, this is literally someone passed away for fear of being embarrassed.
Yeah,
and I think there's a real fear of that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, if nothing else, I mean, I know there's been a lot of criticism, and I'm not trying to defend Trump's approach in the manner in which he's dealing with the Federal Reserve, because I don't really agree with his approach. But when you start asking questions and you're not getting answers, and then some of this starts to reveal itself, it could be an important exercise to probe even further, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's important to remember that the government does not control the Fed. Fed is designed to be independent. They have staggered terms so that no president can unduly influence the Fed. And every president, whether they're Democrat or Republican, always wants lower rates. President Obama wanted lower rates. George Bush wanted lower rates. And President Trump for sure wants lower interest rates. So there's always that political pressure. I think the president's taken it to a new level with, pushing hard. And I think sometimes that might be counterproductive because, once again, mm-hmm. getting back to that embarrassment, the Fed, oh, you're going to tell us what to do? Well, we're going to show you that we're not going to do it. And economically, that's not the right approach. You need to look at the data. And I think mostly they've done it. But that 25 versus 50, there's a little fear of embarrassment that I wish wasn't there. But, we'd be naive to think that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the collapse of the French government and why it matters to the U.S., as well as Europe cooling on net zero. And, Guy, we've talked a lot about nuclear energy. It seems as though that's a path that the U.K. may be on now. We'll talk about that and more when we return with Guy Williams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Jim, stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. The French economy has been borrowing money at extraordinary amounts, about 6% of GDP a year. It piles up. Sound familiar, Guy?
Yeah, it really is a preview of coming attractions. And the challenge is France has a parliamentary system, unlike our two-party system. So even if you're president, you have to get parliament to agree. And what happened is there was a vote of no confidence. So François Bayrou was removed as the head of government. And the challenge for France is they're taxing about 52% of GDP, spending about 57%. The European Union has told them, look, in a few years, y'all are going to have to come under mandatory sanctions, just like Greece did, just like Italy did when they were spending too much money. And so the government, Mitterrand, said, okay, we'll start looking at ways to cut spending. We're going to raise the retirement age. We're going to get rid of a couple holidays. We're going to have some pro-business things. We'll make our business taxes competitive with the rest of Europe so we can grow. But the problem is the far right and the far left both conspired to throw out the president. And you would think, okay, the European Union is telling us that we've got to cut our spending, we've got to get back in line. So maybe they have plans to do that. Actually, they have no plans to do that. Their plans are the exact opposite. The far right has things that they want to spend money on. They want to reverse the pension reform. They want to spend more money on infrastructure, reduce the VAT, which is the European sales tax equivalent. The far left wants to invest more in green infrastructure. They want to increase wages for civil servants. They want to increase the wealth tax. They want to increase the inheritance tax. They want to increase the exit tax, which is a tax if you try and leave France because taxes have become too high. So here's the situation. The center is saying, look, EU is going to sanction us if we don't quit spending. The left and the right conspired to throw out the president, and both of them are planning to spend more and make the deficit worse. So it leaves France in a very awkward situation because they're the second largest economy in the European Union, and there's really no way forward because the voters, the majority of the voters, don't want to do anything to solve the deficit problem.
It's an interesting place, right? I mean, I visited there about, I don't know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago now. And I was in, it's not Uber, it's called Burline. And it's you're guaranteed an English-speaking driver and a couple of other things. And we're going from point A to point B. And I'm talking to the guy who's Middle Easterner. And I asked him, I said, how long have you been here? And he tells me, I said, what do you do? He says, you know, I have five or six different companies. I'm driving. It's a very high-end vehicle that you get and you drive, and they drive. And I said, what is the key to your success here? He tells me, he goes, this is a lazy society. If you can't make money in France, you don't want to work. He said, if you want to work, you can not only make money here, he said, you can make really good money here. And he says, my family is living a quality of life in France that we never would have ever imagined. I forgot the country that he came from now. But he said, that I would have ever imagined, ever being possible. And he says, the society's getting lazier, and those that come here are getting wealthier. Just one man's perspective. It was interesting.
No, and he's exactly right. I mean, my family on my mother's side is French, and there's a certain French attitude that we're French and you're not, so we know better than you. And the trade-off has always been quality of life. You know, we want to live our lives. We want to enjoy our lives. We don't want to work too hard, 35-hour work week, lots of vacations, August off. Now, you know, in New Orleans, that August off is looking pretty darn good. That's a tough month. It'd be nice. I mean, wouldn't it be great? You'll take a month off.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could all go to North Carolina or somewhere cool or wherever we like, just somewhere away, go to the Gulf Coast. So there's a tremendous desire by the average Frenchman to keep doing what they're doing. The problem is the world has changed. It's become interconnected. Debt has become unsustainable. France got hit by three different things. COVID, of course, poorly managed, unfortunately. The war in Ukraine was disastrous because it cut off cheap gas from Russia. And then China has quit buying French luxury goods. You know, they now have this buy China syndrome. So suddenly you've lost a market for your goods. Your prices have gone up and you're faced with having to adjust your lifestyle, which is just not in the French temperament to want to do it. And I can understand that, you know. Do you want to give up this great lifestyle you've had that your parents had? And the reality is you're going to have to, but you don't want to. And that's the dilemma that the government's facing right now. The right and the left are both saying, we don't have to face reality. We both have unrealistic programs that we're going to sell to the people that are better than the center's idea of raising retirement. And they only raised retirement to 62. You know, we're not talking 72. We're talking 62 versus 60. So the French citizens don't want to do it. Reality is unpleasant, and they're voting, we don't want to face reality. Now, at some point, that has to occur. And that's the scary thing for the French, but it's also the scary thing for us, because if you poll people in America, nobody wants to change to reduce the unbalanced deficit situation that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting there, too. Very strong union country, and they strike. But there's a strike going on almost every week in France. It's amazing.
Oh, I mean, my goodness, yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned the unions. My sister is a veterinarian, and they had an international veterinary conference, and they were giving tours, and she showed the French veterinarians her clinic, and, you know, here are the cages, and here, you know, we have the employees that clean the cages and take care of that. And the French vet said, wait, you have employees clean up after the animals? So of course, I mean, why would a vet do that? He said, we would never do that in France. If you hire someone, you can never fire them. So it's too risky to hire people to clean the cages. We do that ourselves. And she said, well, how can you be productive as a vet if you're spending all your, I said, we're not that productive, but this is France.
Yeah. So when we think about this, you know, a lot of folks probably might be listening to us talk about this right now and to say, why would this matter to us in the U.S.? But there's a strong connection here, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a preview of coming attractions, because what's happening in France is the voters don't want to accept the painful changes. And the reality is they can't continue to live the way they've lived. And the problem that France is facing, and I'm going to introduce an economic term, it's called the Laffer curve, and it's not laughable, it's, and some people say Laffer, but it means that at a certain tax rate, if you raise taxes, you will actually get less revenue. And if you think about it, if taxes are 100, obviously you collect zero. So there's a curve somewhere, and France may be at the top of that. So if you can't raise taxes without reducing revenue, then you have to cut expenditures, but the voters don't want to cut expenditures. And that's the problem France is facing. And that's really the problem we face in America. You know, we have, in 2 weeks, we have a government shutdown threat. We have tremendous deficits. And the Democratic leadership has said to the Republican leadership, we're only going to approve keeping the government open if you increase spending. We're at a time of significant deficits. We can't keep increasing spending, but that may be what happens in 2 weeks. So we're going to see in a couple weeks what occurs in the U.S. But France is already saying that the voters just don't want to cut spending.
Well, they want to raise taxes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not worried about the expenditure side. They're worrying about the revenue side. But, yeah, you know, well, when we talk about – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say, in France, the left wants to increase the wealth tax, which is a tax on net worth, the inheritance tax, the income tax, and the exit tax. The right actually wants to reduce taxes and increase spending. Both of them want to increase spending. The fear economically is if France is indeed at the top end of the tax rate, any of these tax increases will reduce revenue, not increase revenue. And yeah. If you're on the wrong side of the curve, that's a disastrous place to be, because now your only option is to reduce spending.
And one of the obvious byproducts leads us into what we're going to discuss now, Europe cooling on net zero.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for a long time, it was very popular and it was trendy to say, look, we're going to go to net zero. We're going to be environmental purists. It's going to save the world. Well, reality is hitting the net zero folks. The reality is China, which used to be a relatively low polluter, is now by far the biggest polluter in the world. The war in Ukraine is a tremendous polluter. It's the equivalent of three different entire countries' pollution, because war is inevitably very bad for the environment, but a lot of CO2 is emitted by rockets, by guns, by tanks, by trucks. And England is a perfect example. You talked about nuclear, but they put in a lot of wind power. And the European government, and the not the European government, the British government is paying wind producers $1.8 billion to turn off turbines in Scotland. Now think about that, Newell. You subsidized wind power. You created all these wind turbines, and now you have too much electricity. The grid can't handle it. So you're paying $1.8 billion to turn off the power you subsidized. And in the meantime, the average Brit sees their power bill going up significantly, and they're saying, wait a minute, time out. This is idiotic. You subsidize something that you're now paying them to not produce because they didn't build the storage or the grid to transmit the power. So the European voters and the British voters are saying, enough of this already. We don't want to keep subsidizing this. We were in favor of it when it seemed like a nice moral crusade, but now that it increases our bills and makes our lives worse, we don't want to do this anymore. So there's a lot of popular resentment against the concept of net zero.
But this is a tragic failure of government subsidization run amok, right? I mean, without some protections in these agreements, because that's what this is all about. They've guaranteed these folks a revenue stream, and now they don't, you know, in order to cut back, and I don't know. So why cut back? Why not just keep producing? I don't understand why. You know, I'd have to let me back up. I guess there's nuances to this deal, but obviously it doesn't make sense if you don't have the infrastructure to support with the output that they're able are capable of doing.
Yeah, there's an economic rule that government forgets, which is the economic utility of any investment is inversely proportional to the amount of the government subsidy required to produce it. So if it requires a giant government subsidy, it is almost always economically unfeasible. And that's where they are in Britain with the wind power. Giant subsidies, but the government didn't think through transmission, didn't think through storage. And if they'd subsidized storage and transmission, the cost would have been even higher, and the voters never would have stood for it. And so now they're stuck in a terrible place. They've created power that can't be used. You're having to pay producers because you guaranteed them volume. And the taxpayers and the ratepayers are up in arms and just saying, this is crazy. We don't want to do this.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, is nuclear making a comeback?
It really is, and it is beginning to be accepted on both sides of the Atlantic. You know, we were just beating up the poor British on the offshore wind power, but the British have reached out to the U.S. and said, look, we want to do compact nuclear power generation, and we want to make a deal with you that once a plant is approved, either in the U.S. or the U.K., it can be used anywhere, and we can start replicating these compact nuclear power plants because we need base power. And this is such a logical idea that I hope that it passes, because right now it takes 7 years to get approval to build a nuclear power plant. Well, that's ridiculously too long. It should be limited to 1 year. There's nothing good that goes on in 7 years of review process by federal agencies. It's just delay. So the UK's proposal to us, and I hope the president will accept it, and I think he's inclined to accept it, which is let's accelerate the approval because we need base power. You know, the AI movement is a tremendous user of power. After years of having flat demand for electricity, it's now going up across the developed world. So this would be a great way to provide that base power. And then you can plug in the renewables like wind, like solar, where they make sense.
Let's pivot to an interesting back here domestically, an interesting issue. I guess it's the Jacksonville Jaguars bowl plan to lose 85% of its customers. What's going on there?
Yeah. It's not the football Jaguars. It's the Jaguar Motor Company.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at stadium deal that they were talking about.
No.
The Jaguar car. I saw that article the other day.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding. And Jaguar has come out with, and some of the, if people want something entertaining to Google, they can Google Jaguar's new ads. They're saying copy nothing, bold, original. And the ads are really unusual, but they're a direct copy of the Benetton color ads because you use a lot of bright colors, a lot of people that don't look like they'd buy Jaguars. And then you've got a lady in a dress carrying a sledgehammer. Well, that's a direct ripoff of the Apple commercial when Apple had the young lady with a sledgehammer throwing it into the TV screen. So what Jaguar is saying is bold, creative, copy nothing. And their campaign copied everything, but didn't reveal a picture of the car. And when they talked to the head of Jaguar, he said, we want to reduce the number of Jaguars sold by 85%. It's like, what? Have you lost your mind? The idea is they're going to sell far fewer cars at higher prices. And the idea of this re-imaging and redesigning campaign is supposed to attract a new audience. But as I looked at it, I didn't see anybody that looked sort of aspirational, nobody that you wanted to look like. And the idea that Jaguar customers are going to suddenly pay a lot more money for an unusual car, and it's also, by the way, going all electric. So it may be a little behind the curve. You know, Toyota made the bet on hybrids, which turns out to have been pretty productive. But Jaguar has gone with a very unusual campaign, and the idea is that they will shrink their customer base, raise prices, and ultimately it'll be better. Now, you know, if you look at Jaguar's history, that this is sort of a continuation. 2018, they sold 180,000 cars. 2024, 32,000. If they go to this e-only version, that'd be 4,500 cars. So I guess if your design is to shrink your sales, you can probably do that. But I don't know if this is ultimately going to be profitable.
I remember reading part of their plan was to eliminate every car under a ticket price, I think. Was it 70 or 80,000 that they produce? They weren't going to produce those cars. They were going to do away with that first, like, you know, this is done. We're not producing these cars any longer.
Yeah, we're only going to have the very expensive vehicles. And once again, they're only going to be fully electric right when the market for electric cars seemed to have peaked. I mean, people are losing interest in the pure electric model. And the idea that this campaign is going to attract customers is really bizarre to me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Jaguar has been replete with production problems, right? I mean, going back decades, and it hadn't really improved. You know, through the transition of Ford Motor Company, I think, bought Jaguar. I don't even know who owns Jaguar today. But, you know, it's not like they've ever resolved their issues.
No, they're owned by Tata Motors right now. And there was a time when when people would replace the electronics in Jaguar vehicles with Delco electronics because they would actually work. You know, the cars were always beautiful. I mean, they yeah. looked great, but didn't run
styles.
Well. And as if that weren't bad enough, Jaguar was hacked last week, and they can't produce cars today. They literally have told everybody, look, stay home. We don't know what to do. And Tata has said to the government, we may need some sort of bailout to pay our suppliers because we don't know when we can start producing cars again. So in the middle of this awkward rebranding, they got hacked, and it looks like they were hacked by a gang of teenagers, which is further wow. embarrassing. And I don't know if the teenagers didn't like the ad campaign or they were just having fun, but Jaguar literally can't produce automobiles right this minute. I guess that's one way to get to that 85% sales reduction. If you don't make them, you can't sell them.
Yeah. Let's pivot to the Supreme Court. As we all know, there's a case on tariffs that's made its way up there, and everyone's anxiously awaiting for an opinion, a result. You say that the president might be better off losing it?
Yeah, sometimes you're better off losing than winning. There's a tariff provision that he's using. It's the Emergency Economic Power Act. And what it does is it allows the president to have unlimited tariffs. And the challenge is when you have unlimited tariffs and they change week by week, businesses won't plan. They can't. And you can't build a new factory that might last 50 years on a tariff that could last 3 weeks. So certainty, either you certainly can do it or you certainly can't do it, would really help a lot. I mean, one of the things that helped the economy was when the tax bill passed, because whether you like it or dislike it, now CPAs can tell people how to plan for their taxes. The tariffs need to be settled, and we need to decide what level they are and quit changing them week by week, because until we do, factories won't expand. And that's one reason that we've had a reduction in factory workers, because companies are really on pause. You know, normal expansion that would have occurred is on hold right now because you just don't know how to plan. You don't know what the aluminum tariff is, the copper tariff. And so if the president loses this case, is far more narrow. He still has tariff options, but the limits are smaller, and the plan to put them into place requires a finding of some violation and some harm. So the certainty would go up. And I know the president doesn't want to lose, but I think in terms of economic certainty, it would be nice if we did not have this threat of unlimited tariffs going back and forth. So that's why I say it might be better to lose than to win. But if he wins, at least at least that's done. But if he does win, I would encourage him, look, just settle on whatever tariffs you're going to have and stop. Don't change them anymore. Because you can't plan if you don't have certainty.
I would agree for sure, because I think that certainty thing is huge, and it's understated for sure. As always, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us today. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Have a great week.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much.
We will be right back, and we'll check in with Scoot when we return, so stay with us. Folks, I'm excited about upcoming show Thursday. I'll be broadcasting live from Dini Seafood in Bucktown to celebrate oysters in the oyster industry, courtesy of Jedco. We'll be at Dini's for Shuck and Tell to kick off Oyster Night, an annual event aiming at raising awareness. Scoot's headed your way. We'll be talking about Tulane, LSU, Saints, and more. Stay tuned.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have three Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.